Good morning. You're listening to Napa's KVON 1440 AM radio. This is the Farmers Fresh Hour, sponsored by American Ag Credit, Money for Agriculture, and featuring the St. Helena Farmers Market. My name is Kelly Foster, and I'm one of the volunteer board members for the St. Helena Farmers Market, and I'm happy to welcome three special guests today. Stacy Bressler of Bressler Vineyards, one of our long-serving board members of the St. Helena Farmers Market, as well as a generous sponsor of our chef's table throughout our market season. Jim Lakin, executive chef of Lucy Restaurant at the Bardessona Hotel in Yountville, and Jessica Manella, founder of Flower Napa Valley, one of our wonderful new artisan vendors at the market this season. Our market is located at Crane Park in St. Helena. We're open every Friday, May through October, 7:30 a.m. to 12 p.m. In addition to providing exceptional seasonal produce from local farms and growers, we also offer a wide array of prepared foods and beautiful artisan goods. Our 33rd season is well underway, and our market is full every week with nearly 50 vendors. The St. Helena Farmers Market is also privileged to hold a 501c3 nonprofit status, which allows us to focus on a variety of community education programs that we offer throughout our season. We hope today's listeners will take the time to come visit us at Crane Park in St. Helena to see firsthand all that we have to offer. Our first guest today is Stacy Bressler. Stacy and her husband Bob are the owners of Bressler Vineyards in St. Helena, specializing in an ultra-premium Cabernet Sauvignon. Bressler Vineyards has been a longtime supporter of the St. Helena Farmers Market, sponsoring our chef's table, which features complimentary cooking demonstrations and tastings from some of the best chefs in Napa Valley. Stacy is also a fellow board member of the St. Helena Farmers Market, in addition to being actively involved with a variety of other community organizations. Stacy, thank you for joining us today. To begin, Stacy, why don't you tell us a little bit about how and when you came to Napa Valley?
Sure. It's not a unique story by any standards. My husband and I were both working in high tech in Silicon Valley, and Napa Valley became our refuge. This was the place to escape from the normal rat race. We started coming up in the early 90s, and by mid-90s, we were hooked. We knew that this was where we wanted to be. We bought a weekend house in 1997, and then I arranged for early retirement and moved up full-time in 1999. So I just had my 20th anniversary here in the Valley.
Oh, congratulations.
Thank you. And, you know, it's just a very special place.
It is. It is. And tell us, do you always had a desire to be in the wine business?
No, not at all. As a matter of fact, 15 years ago, if you had told me that I was going to be a farmer, I would probably have asked you what drugs you were taking, because this was not in my future. But it just sort of happened.
Well, how did your vineyard come to be then?
We were looking for a house, and we wanted a combination of a rural feel, but close enough to town that I could walk in. And we found the house, perfect house, great property. And David Abreu, who became our vineyard manager, he's a well-known vineyard manager at the time, came over as a friend. He had grown up in the town in St. Helena, and took a look at the place and said, "You are on the old creek bed. That is the best place in the valley for growing grapes. You should plant a vineyard." And, you know, I wasn't fully retired yet. My husband wasn't even close to retired yet. And we said, "Well, we'll think about it." We were taking our time, but David wasn't. When we came up a few weeks later, our entire backyard had been torn up and staked, and we were going to be in the wine business, like it or not. Then a few months later, we bought the contiguous property, which had mature vines on it.
Oh, that's wonderful. And did your husband Bob have any background in farming either?
If you didn't? Heck
no. None?
He didn't even grow up in a family where they drank wine. I did.
Yeah. That's fantastic. And so venturing into any business with your spouse isn't always easy. Do you find that each of you find your own areas of the business that play to your respective strengths?
Well, anyone who knows us knows that we're kind of the classic left brain, right brain division people. He's an engineer by training. I'm a liberal arts gal. And so it kind of naturally fell into my doing anything that was sales, marketing, or customer support oriented, where it was face-to-face customer support. And he was doing most of the background, the shipping, compliance, handling all the mailing lists, and basically keeping things running while I went out and played.
So you've really been the face of the business then?
Yes, more and more. It's really been interesting. After he retired and became more active, he's actually done probably more tastings than I have.
Oh, isn't that interesting?
He got really into it.
And before moving to St. Helena, your professional background focused on sales and marketing and e-commerce solutions. Once you settled in St. Helena, how did you start getting involved in the greater community?
Well, since we don't have kids, I knew that the traditional path of getting involved through the schools was not going to work. So I started doing volunteer work for the Napa Valley Vintners. And I knew a lot of the vintners and was becoming one myself. So it was a good way to meet people, have an entree into the community. I very quickly became a member of the St. Helena Farmers Market Board. And it just sort of evolved from there. I also joined the St. Helena Hospital Foundation Board. Again, a fellow vintner introduced me. And that was kind of my entree.
And we certainly live in a very sort of tight-knit community, so you've found that those provided great access to things that you were passionate about.
Right.
Well, that's wonderful. And so you have now been serving on the St. Helena Farmers Market Board for 20 years, and we are so grateful for your time and contributions. Tell us about how you got involved with the market specifically and how you've seen the market evolve in your tenure.
Well, I initially, like most people, came there to see what it was all about and check out the fresh produce, and I knew very little at that point about actually organic farming and sustainable farming and the importance of eating seasonally and locally grown produce. But I certainly liked to eat, and I thought it was a nice place and could see my friends, and little by little, the more I went, the more ideas I had for what it could and should be. And so I've watched it evolve from a much smaller, only produce-oriented market to branching out much more in the areas of prepared food and to bringing on more artisans. And mostly I'm excited about our educational programs.
And why is the market so important to you personally? And tell us a little bit about what it gives back to the community that you've been so passionate about.
Well, from a purely personal point of view, I live very close to the market. When we moved to Crane Park, you were moving to my end of the hood. And you were going to be in my backyard anyway. Mm-hmm. I might as well be there every week. So, you know, it just seemed like the natural thing to do. And I really like the board members. And I love the vendors as I started to get to know them. So I've watched it grow and evolve. And I think that there were three or four of us from the beginning who said, this is the best kept secret, and we need to do more to venture into the community. I'm a proponent of education. I actually was a teacher. I was a classroom teacher and school librarian. So education came very naturally to me. It was something I understood. And I felt very strongly that we needed to do more educating people about healthy eating as I was becoming educated myself. And this meant doing more with the schools, going out into classrooms, doing outreach not just to kids but also to parents to help them understand why it was important for them to give their children the right kinds of nutrients. Did I answer your question?
I think you did, but
got off on my passions.
Yes, and speaking about the market's educational programs, when did that sort of come to be?
Well, it evolved. Mm-hmm. We did some outreach and asked people what they wanted, and to my delight, people said they wanted to learn more. So we sat down as a board and said, we need some formal programs. And that's when we started talking about the lecture series. And I know that you'll be talking with Jessica about the lecture series more as the program goes on.
Yes, absolutely.
But we felt that it was important. And being a foodie, I was delighted when the idea of a chef's demo was proposed and was quickly putting up my hand saying, I'd sponsor that, which I did. much to my husband's amazement. Doing what? But that's typical. And it really grew into a unique program unto itself. Relative to the market, it's a much smaller program, but it's an important component, and we try very much to keep it integrated, to use our vendors in education and to play on the strengths of the community in terms of the chefs that we invite and the local speakers. We applied for a 501c3 because we wanted to be able to fund our education programs through tax-deductible donations to the market. And that's been extremely successful.
Yes, I agree. And in addition to sponsoring the chef's table, you have also kindly contributed on a regular basis to the St. Helena Star and the new St. Helena Living magazine. Why do you think it's really essential that the community stay up to date about what the market is offering?
It always amazes me that there are still people in our community, on my own street, very close to the market, who don't understand that we're there. Mm-hmm. They kind of go, oh, yeah, the farm stand. And clearly anybody who says that has not been to our market.
Yes, absolutely.
It is so much more than that. So getting people to understand that this is not just a little farm stand where they can buy fancy-dancy, some people believe more expensive, fruits and vegetables. If I can get them to actually come to the market and feel the ambiance in the market, feel the sense of community, see the educational programs, understand that our vendors, yes, many of them are growers, but they're also very knowledgeable people and very willing to share in their experiences and knowledge. They'll give you recipes. It's just, and no, the produce is not generally more expensive.
I agree, and I think that's an important message to get out to the community. And Stacy, you're involved in so many other community organizations and nonprofits. Tell us why that work is so important to you.
I live in St. Helena. So being there, I want the things that are important to me, the Cameo Cinema. I'm a big movie buff. The St. Helena Hospital Foundation. I'm not going to live forever, sometime or another. I'd rather go in where people know my name. So I really am trying to wear my passions on my sleeve and work for those things that I believe in. I also sit on a regional board for Planned Parenthood in Northern California. So I'm looking out for my own interests and also trying to help the community understand the resources that we have and how important it is to keep them. What attracted me was a sense of community. I think we really have to keep that.
Well, we're so grateful for all of your support. And today's listeners should also know that thanks to Stacy's great work and volunteerism, she was also nominated Citizen of the Year by the St. Helena Chamber of Commerce in 2016, which is well-deserved honor, for sure. And so for somebody who's just moving to Napa Valley or new to the community, how do you recommend people, get involved? And where do you see our current needs?
Get out. That's the not get out of town, but get out of your house and get out to the movies, get out to the farmer's market, get out to the local coffee shop, reach out to people with like interests. And I found it very easy. I found the community to be very welcoming. And if I found two or three people who were like-minded, suddenly I had more offers to do things, go places, join boards. I'm always asked to join boards because I'm a fundraiser, and I'm not afraid to ask people for money.
And a very
every
active participant, too.
The world thinks that's like the greatest gift ever. So, yeah.
Well, all of your work has been really tremendous, and our entire community is grateful. Thank you so much for joining us today, Stacy. We're going to be back after a quick commercial break.
Have you caught Senior Moments here on KVON 1440 AM? We cover topics relevant to California older adults, covering issues such as advocacy, wellness, disaster preparedness, and many more. It's every Wednesday at 7:30 during the Wine Country Live Morning Show. If you don't catch it at 7:30, you can also tune in at 12 noon every Wednesday. Senior Moments is proudly brought to you by the Queen of the Valley Medical Center and Community Benefit in collaboration with Community Action of Napa Valley as a Leadership Napa Valley Project.
Community Grapevine. Hi, this is Tallulah.
And Ruby Finkelstein.
Join us for Napa Valley Kindness Day on Saturday, August 17th, as we show the importance and power of kindness to strengthen our community. We'll gather at Yonville Veterans Memorial Park at 9:30 a.m., then walk through town. So bring signs with kind messages.
Napa Valley Museum will then host our free celebration with activities, speakers, music, and treats. For more info, like Be Kind Napa on Facebook or visit BeKindNapa.com.
You're listening to Napa's KVON 1440 AM on your radio dial. You can also stream us live at kvon.com. This is the Farmer's Fresh Hour, sponsored by American Ag Credit, Money for Agriculture. My name is Kelly Foster, and I'm one of the volunteer board members for the Santa Elena Farmer's Market. And joining me today are Stacy Bressler of Bressler Vineyards, Chef Jim Lakin, executive chef of Lucy Restaurant at the Bartisona Hotel in Yountville, and Jessica Manella, owner of Flower Napa Valley. Our next guest today, Chef Jim Lakin, is the executive chef at Lucy at Bartisona. The Bartisona Hotel is a luxury retreat in the heart of Yountville, and the restaurant Lucy features fresh, delicious field-to-fork fare for breakfast, lunch, and dinner. Chef Jim, we are thrilled to have you join us today. Your culinary background has taken you from New York to Napa Valley, and you have had the opportunity to work alongside many incredible chefs. Tell us a little bit about your journey here to Napa Valley.
A long and winding journey. I grew up outside New York City in the suburbs of Westchester County. My family was not, you know, a huge foodie family, but they appreciated good food. One of the big regrets of my life is they took my sister for her 16th birthday to Lutes restaurant in New York City when Andre Saltner was still the chef. And I was 13, and I thought French food was yucky and disgusting. So I stayed home with the babysitter, but I've evolved.
You've evolved since then, yes.
Yes. I started cooking professionally after college. I took an entry-level class at the New School in New York City. From there, I got an unpaid externship at a restaurant called March on the Upper East Side of New York. The owner was a chef named Wayne Nish, who worked at the Quilted Giraffe, which was a very well-known four-star New York Times restaurant in New York in the 80s. And I was fortunate enough to work under some great chefs there. Mike Anthony, who's now the chef at Gramercy Tavern, Missy Robbins, who works at who owns Lilia in Brooklyn. And from there, one of the cooks, her boyfriend worked at a restaurant downtown, and they were looking for a cook, and found a job through that. I worked in the East Village at a restaurant called First for about a year, and then was on the opening team at a restaurant called Tabla. The chef was Floyd Cardoz, which was a Indian fusion restaurant. It was actually Danny Meyer's, I think, third restaurant, and spent about a year and a half with him. And then went back to March for a little bit, and then wound up working for Danielle Blood starting in 2001, and I wound up spending 12 years for him at four different properties.
Oh, that's tremendous.
Yeah. Restaurant Danielle for 3 years, and then I moved to DB Bistro, his modern brasserie in Midtown, where I was a sous chef for 4 years, and they tapped me to open DBGB, which was his kind of casual charcuterie and sausage-focused brasserie in the East Village back in 2009. So that was my first executive chef position. I was there for 2 years. It was a lot of fun.
I bet.
From there, he offered me the position to run Cafe Balut in Palm Beach, Florida in 2011, I believe. And so my wife and I moved down there. We spent 2 years, and we kind of decided at the end of that we were looking for some place. We had a new family, and we're looking for a new home for our family and our children. We both grew up in the suburbs. We were looking for that kind of experience for our kids, but we wanted a place that was a food and wine destination. And there's a lot of cities and places that kind of market themselves that way, but when you really narrow down the list, there aren't that many that really, you know, that people really come to, you know, exclusively to focus on food and wine. And I came out here to visit, and and just, you know, fell in love. You know, what's not to love when you're...
Yes, exactly. Well, that's quite a journey, you know, from New York to Napa Valley. And so you've now been at Lucy for about 6 months. Tell us about your culinary philosophy there, and how have you been able to translate that into the dining experiences that Lucy offers?
I would say, you know, my culinary philosophy is very sort of ingredient focused. You know, as I've been doing this for 20 plus years, and the longer I do it, the more I appreciate, you know, the intrinsic value of good ingredients. And the better they are, kind of the less you have to do to them. You know, you just want to find the best products you can and really, really let them speak. You know, I always get wary when I see menus with a lot of stuff going on. You know, it's finding, you know, that peach at the peak of ripeness, you know, that we're starting to get in now, and just treating it really simply, you know, and appreciating the values that it has, you know, getting beautiful seafood, getting beautiful meat and produce, and you know, I worked for Cindy Paulson before I was at Bartisono, and she told me, you know, just get the best stuff you can and try not to mess it up between the garden and the plate. She used a stronger word for
it. So from the farm to the table, so to speak. Yes.
Yeah. You know, we're blessed here in Napa. We don't, you know, we have access to such amazing stuff. We don't need to do that much to it. You know, obviously we want to present it nicely and apply great technique and great seasoning and make things look beautiful. But, you know, a chef's job, at least food-wise here, is easy.
And speaking to that, where do you continue to find your inspiration, since we are fortunate to be surrounded by so much bounty?
A lot of my inspiration comes from the garden we have at Lucy. I have a garden at my own home. And, you know, I know farm-to-table is kind of a cliche at this point, but there is something to that, the rhythm of the seasons. You know, really, really inspires, you know, as I've been doing this year after year, it's like, okay, you know, winter's coming to an end, you know, what's coming down the pike? You know, we have nettles, we have ramps, we have wild mushrooms, you know, and as a chef, you're always kind of looking forward to that next, you know, that next thing that's coming. Summer is a great time. With tomatoes and stone fruit and corn and things like that. But your mind, you know, as you're working on menus, as you're, you know, thinking about, you know, what's coming down the road, you know, you're starting to think about fall and squash and apples and quince and, you know, all those things that each season has its own identity. And it always keeps you on your toes, you know. You know, there are some things I like to do year after year, but more often I like to, you know, look at those ingredients and just kind of play with them in ways we haven't before and just keep it interesting. And, you know, the what's coming out of the ground keeps you evolving,
motivated and challenged.
Exactly.
Yeah. And over the years, you've been a tremendous supporter of the St. Helena Farmers Market, and you've participated in several chefs' demos, and we're so grateful for that support. Why do you believe farmers markets in particular are important to our community?
Farmers markets are just, you know, for a lot of people who don't have time to garden or don't have the space to do it, it's just great for people to have that connection with what is coming out of the ground. And I think, you know, in our society, in our world today, everything is so crazy, you know, with, you know, everything that's going on. It's you know, there's something visceral about, you know, being able to walk through a farmer's market, you know, hold that produce, smell that produce, taste that. It's that connection with the earth and connection with the seasons that you don't get anywhere else, you know, unless you're growing it yourself. You know, it's hard to replace that, and it's an important connection that you know, helps keep us grounded.
Yeah, I couldn't agree more. And also the connection, you know, knowing who's really growing your food.
Exactly.
And where it's coming from. Speaking to all of the abundance that we're fortunate to have, do you ever find in the restaurant when you're doing breakfast, lunch, and dinner and menus, is it difficult to keep up?
It can be. sometimes, you know, sometimes there's more, you know, more than you can deal with. But that, you know, that's the challenge of being a chef. It's finding ways, You know, if, you know, when we have too much stone fruit, okay, what are we going to do? We're going to make jam. If we have too many, you know, cucumbers, you know, we're going to make pickles, and we'll have that through the year.
So it's always constantly challenging your creativity, so to speak.
Exactly, exactly. You know, the one thing that drives me crazy is wasting food. So it's always about finding, you know, ways to utilize things that are going to be enticing to our customers and you know, extending the life of those products.
And the dining scene in Napa Valley has changed and evolved in recent years. How do you see Lucy evolving and moving forward?
What I've seen in my time here is that I think there's more of a focus on eating as a celebration, as a more kind of casual experience. I think, you know, there are plenty of great restaurants in the Valley where you can go for a formal, you know, three-course or multi-course tasting menu that's, you know, a very kind of formal affair. But what I've seen at Lucy and at Cindy's Backstreet before this is a lot of people come and they just want to celebrate. They want something casual, they want great food, and they want, you know, things people can share. Because eating out, you know, in restaurants is a social experience. It's a, you know, it's a celebratory thing. And I think a lot of times people are moving away from that kind of very rigid, structured sort of meal to more sharing, more casual, more, you know, enjoying the simplicity of great food and great company and great wine.
Absolutely. And, you know, even though Napa Valley is a culinary destination, no doubt about that, restaurants have struggled here in recent years in some instances. Often guests and patrons are unaware of some of those challenges that restaurants here face. For our listeners today, can you speak to some of those challenges that you've seen in your time here?
Well, the biggest, you know, the elephant in the room is the labor situation. And it's not exclusive to Napa. You know, I talk with other chefs and colleagues all over the country. You know, as the restaurant industry has grown, there's a labor shortage for everyone. And finding, you know, trained cooks and staff is not as easy as it used to be, you know, certainly when I started. And I think a chef's role has evolved. You know, you can't take for granted that everyone that works for you is going to know everything. So I think it's important for a chef, a modern chef, to be more of a mentor, more of a teacher. You know, I would rather have a cook who is less experienced, but motivated and passionate and excited to learn and take that, you know, that kind of raw energy and mold that into, you know, using my experience, mold that into somebody, you know, who appreciates great food. And, you know, I think just mentoring and growing people and transmitting that passion that I have, you know, that the people I worked for transmitted to me, and my sous chefs have as well, you know, transmitting that to the next generation. I think that's a big responsibility for chefs today.
And essential. Yeah. And now I understand you are the proud father of two young children. Are they as enthusiastic and passionate about food and cooking as you are?
yes and no. I have twins who are 7.5 years old. And my daughter she's a great eater. She's very adventurous. She'll try pretty much anything. She doesn't like everything, but she will try almost anything. My son is kind of the opposite, and it's a lot of macaroni and cheese and
plain
pasta.
Over time.
But you know what? I was a picky eater when I was a kid too, so I'm not giving up.
Yeah, he may just be more discerning.
Exactly.
You know?
Exactly.
And I understand your wife is also an accomplished pastry chef. Do the kids appreciate having not one but two chefs in the house?
You know, I don't know. You know, they've always grown up with that.
Yeah, so they probably don't know any difference.
Yeah. When they were, I remember when they were, you know, still in their high chairs, you know, eating baby food, I would bring home foie gras scraps from Café Boulud, and they were like baby birds. They had their, you know, their mouths open, and we were spoon-feeding them foie gras torchon. I don't know if they appreciate it now. I think when they go off to college, they'll start to
appreciate
that.
Yes, or maybe in a few years when they start, you know, hanging out at other friends' houses.
Exactly.
You know, their appreciation may be yet to come. So Lucy is an outstanding restaurant with Chef Jim Lakin at the helm, and I encourage all of our listeners today to stop in for a meal or a drink and check out all of their delicious offerings. Are there any upcoming events that you want listeners to know about?
I'd love people to know about our happy hour, which is 4:30 to 6:30 every day. We have discounted prices on
a lot of. Is that Monday through Friday or Monday through Sunday?
It's I believe it's every day.
Wonderful.
And we've kind of revamped that and offered more of those kind of fun sort of sharing dishes, burrata with grilled bread and shishito peppers and things like that.
That sounds fabulous.
We always have fresh oysters on the menu. So I'd love people to know about that. We are doing our farmer's market demo in October.
Yep.
It's going to be all about fall squash, which is one of my favorite ingredients. And I would love people to know that we are going to be open for Thanksgiving and Christmas. So
oh, wonderful.
Keep us in mind for your holiday.
Good. Maybe we can all bring our families down there.
You do all the work.
Yeah. Well, Chef Jim, thank you so much for joining us today. We'll return after a quick commercial break.
Hi, this is Gigi from Lido Auto Body, located in the heart of Napa. Lido Auto Body has been serving the Napa Valley for 43 years, and we know the automotive industry. Our number one goal is customer satisfaction. Lido Auto Body works closely with our customers and insurance companies to get you and your vehicle back safely on the road. Remember, it's your choice where you go for repairs. Make it Lido Auto Body, 1725 Action Avenue, proudly serving the Napa community.
I'm Nate Campbell, and another report from The Vine Files, stories we are following from around the wine country, and a Wind Down Media exclusive working to eliminate MS. Kevin Reed is with Crush MS here in the Napa Valley. He stopped by The Vine and talked with Julie Morales.
About 6 years ago, I got together with a woman who has a small winery. We have a small family winery as well, and we thought, what can we do to help this disease? And we're like, well, what do we have at our disposal? Well, geez, we've got wine.
And an organization with the intention of raising funds to help find the cure.
So we started this thing called Crush MS, which is we're now a nonprofit organization raising a lot of funds for the research that goes into finding the cause and cure for this disease.
And Reed says we are closer than ever to finding that cure.
Even within the last 9 or 10 years, it's closer than ever. The technology gets better and better, and so they're able to do more and more on the small molecular level, and it's going to happen real soon, not soon enough.
A big study, Reed says, with new numbers.
For a long time, the numbers were considered around 400,000 people that have this in America,
Wow.
And it looks like it's more like a million people in America that are dealing with it, and so that just kind of doubles the intensity.
And an inspiring message from Reed.
Really just wanted to reach out to the entire Napa Valley and say, Napa, we got this. Like, we've got to get multiple sclerosis cured, and we're very, very close. But I've always said I want the cure for MS to come out of Napa Valley. There's no reason why it shouldn't.
For more info on how you can help Reed achieve this reality, go to crushms.org. I'm Nate Campbell. For this story and more, keep it right here on our local audio platforms.
Hi, this is Judd, the Fink Finkelstein. Join me every Tuesday morning at 9 a.m. here on KVON for Judd's Napa Valley Show. You'll hear the interesting and quirky people that make this Napa Valley the wonderful, intriguing, and exciting place that it is.
You're listening to Napa's KVON 1440 AM on your radio dial. You can also stream us live at kvon.com. This is the Farmer's Fresh Hour, sponsored by American Ag Credit, Money for Agriculture. My name is Kelly Foster. I'm one of the volunteer board members for the St. Helena Farmer's Market. And joining me today are Stacy Bressler of Bressler Vineyards, Chef Jim Lakin, the executive chef at Lucy Restaurant at the Barnasona Hotel in Yountville, and Jessica Manella of Flower Napa Valley. Jessica is the founder of Flower Napa Valley, making handcrafted botanically-based skincare products and perfumes right here in Napa Valley. Jessica has also joined the St. Helena's Farmers Market this season as one of our artisan vendors, and we're thrilled to have her and her incredible products available. Jessica, we really appreciate you joining us today. Jessica, tell us a little bit about Flower. It's a new venture for you and one that you are truly passionate about, but your journey here to Napa Valley and to natural skincare was hardly linear. Tell us a little bit more about that story.
Thanks, Kelly. So I, like the other people who are here on the show today, grew up on the East Coast. So this is the New York Farmer's Fresh Hour.
That's great.
And spent the first 10 years of my career on Wall Street. And in 2009, when Wall Street was imploding, I imploded with it. And that was probably the best thing that could have ever happened to me. I was spending my evenings doing other things, kind of spending time on holistic skin, healthcare, skincare, and in the spaces where, the lifestyle and luxury spaces. And I kind of lifted my head up and said, I really don't really want to stay in the finance industry. I had the opportunity to work with somebody who was actually launching a film on juice fasting called Fat, Sick, and Nearly Dead. And so I joined him and we launched a film, and we also launched a company off the back of that. And while that was happening, I was also trying to figure out where I wanted to live in the world. I had gone to graduate school here in California. And I frankly flew around to different places in the United States, got out to California and said, you know, when I was here in graduate school, this is where I belonged. And it's still where I belong now. And once I moved out here, I met my husband, who is a winemaker. And so rather than moving down to the peninsula, which was my original plan, I moved up to the Napa Valley. While I was here and working for this company that was working on juice fasting, I realized that I really didn't have a lot of community connection. So I left that job so that I could work here in the Valley and went to go work for Rudd and for Dina De Luca and Oakville Grocery, which is really part of that lifestyle and luxury piece of my background, and also kind of kicked off my time in the retail or consumer space, which I think has kind of landed me here at Flower. Worked for them for a couple of years and then went to go work for a candy company down in San Francisco that has 70 stores across the country called Lolly and Pops, and I was the head buyer there. And what I did was I made and bought candy for the company. And so this was this sort of slow movement into things that were closer to what I would say in the sensory space and in the retail space. And all the while as I was doing that, I was spending my personal time doing things that were slightly different. And what I was doing was learning about flowers. So I was learning to be a natural perfumer with a natural perfumer here in the Bay Area. I was learning about flower essences, and I was learning about herbalism. And that was really where I spent a lot of my time. And so about a year ago, I lifted my head up again and said, you know, I'm driving down to San Francisco, I live in the Valley, what am I doing? I'm spending all of my time making perfume and skincare. Maybe I need to give this a try. And so that was how Flower was born. Prior to that, I had just been giving away my products to my friends.
Well, it's a wonderful story. And at one point you mentioned to me that even as a young child, you had this sort of intuition that one day you would be both an artist and a chemist, but nothing about your professional career previously speaks to either. So when did you finally decide to make this leap?
It's such a great question. You know, when I left Wall Street, I lifted my head up and said, I want to do the work that I'm meant to do. But I didn't really know what that was. And so I started to kind of go down this path of what does it mean to do the work that I'm meant to do? And one of the questions that's out there in the world is, well, what did you want to be when you were a child? And I sat down and I thought about it, and they say, oh, you should ask your parents. And I thought, I don't need to ask my parents, I know exactly what I wanted to be. I wanted to be an artist and a chemist. And I don't really know how I got off of that path, but what I knew was that perfumery and skincare was exactly that. It was the wonderful cross between those two things. And so I decided to take the leap and put myself straight back into what my dream was when I was a child.
That's a wonderful story. And tell us about the underlying philosophy of Flower, Napa Valley.
Yeah, so I think that there are a few things. So I was thinking about this before we got started today, and I think the first thing I would say is that what I say is I like to be a voice for the natural world. So what does that mean? I think that Jim talked a little bit about it, about this idea that you want to be in nature, and that's one of the best ways that we can kind of connect and center ourselves. So that was the first thing. The second was I wanted to make products that came from nature, so I wanted to be able to tell where these products came from. I'm a lazy skincare person, so on the skincare side, I wanted something that was really easy to use. And so that was a very, very important thing to me, to keep it simple. With this whole philosophy, I also had this idea that we're beautiful just the way we are. So if we have simple, natural products that can actually express who we are, more, you know, more the better. And then the final piece was scent. So scent has always been an important thing to me. And natural scent is very, very important. We live here in the Valley, where if you take a walk just about anywhere, you can experience scent. So you can experience it in the herbs that are around, you can experience it in the flowers that are around. And a lot of these scents that that you can smell here in the Valley, I use in my skincare and I use in my perfume. And so scent was a really important thing. And I wanted it to be natural because there's something about natural scent that is very, very different than the scent that we're bombarded with in our world today. And there are beautiful scents out there that are synthetic, but for me, natural scent is actually something that interacts with your body, that changes over time, that doesn't necessarily walk into the room before you do, and it doesn't stay after you leave, and is something that we can actually be physically interacting with.
And for those who have not had a chance to see your products firsthand, describe for listeners today what type of products you're offering and how they're being made.
Sure. So I'm an artisan perfumer and an artisan skincare specialist, which means that I make everything by hand in my home. And I make them in small batches so that they can stay fresh. And I have a couple of different things that I make. So I've got skincare, that's face oils, some face creams, lip care. I have body care, so that's body balms and body soaps. And I have what I call vibrational scents. So these are little travel scents that you can take with you that both have flower essences and scents in them. And they're meant to help you do things like feel calm or to ground yourself. Simple because they're easy to travel with. And then I have perfume. And all of my perfumes, as I said, are made with naturally derived materials.
And where are you sourcing your ingredients from?
Great question. So ingredients are an important thing in this. What I do is I source my ingredients because I'm small. I go to the distributors who I know and who I agree with the way that they choose the products that they're going to be selling. I will source from Eden Botanicals, which is a local company where you can buy a lot of these materials. I source from Mountain Rose Herbs. I also source from local farmers, so the things that are available here in the Valley, I will work with local farmers to actually source. I think the key about sourcing is to know the materials, to know what a good quality scent is, to know what a good quality oil is, and to be able to understand and frankly kind of listen to the materials to understand, okay, this is something that's going to work well with the skin, and then to try it. So when I'm sourcing, I'm using a lot of my intuition, a lot of my experience over time to source materials.
Oh, that's wonderful. And, you know, we're surrounded by the wine industry here, and your spouse is also a winemaker. It has often been my understanding that there is a resistance to perfumes or blended scents for people in the industry as it can interfere with the olfactory experience of wine. Has that presented any challenges or made for interesting conversations between you and your husband?
For me and my husband and me and my friends, you know, as we all know in the industry, perfume is a no-no. And one of the things that's super interesting for me is when I tell people I'm a perfumer, they sort of pause. They don't really know what to do. And actually, when I first met my husband and we were dating, one of the days he said to me, so, you know, you've got all these beautiful perfumes. Perfume is a big thing for me. But really, you can't wear these when we go out to dinner. So that was like a new lesson for me. But the thing is, perfume's a no-no, but scent is a yes-yes. Mm-hmm. So people who are in the wine industry, for me, are some of the most amazing people to experience scent with because they have developed their olfactory capabilities. And I can learn so much from them around scent, as much as I feel I can teach them around scent. So what I have found is that when I'm talking to other, you know, to winemakers and people in the wine industry, we're talking a lot about the components that are in the perfumes. We're talking a lot about the natural materials and the smell of the natural materials, what makes them unique, what makes them different. And so I think that's been the best way. I think that there are times that perfume works. And the thing about natural perfume is, as I said earlier, it doesn't walk into the room before you. It doesn't, you know, stay when you've left. And it's something that you can have very personally. And so, you know, a person can wear a scent on the top of their hand, and that scent can be simply for them. So you can lift the top of your hand and smell, and it doesn't have to be something that everybody else experiences.
And I've been fortunate enough to see your products firsthand, and they truly are extraordinary. They're a gift to our community. And so, you know, scents, as you've touched on this a little bit, but scents are powerful in many different ways, and a lot of your study and work has been on the energetic impact of scents. For listeners who may be less familiar with this, could you speak to how this works in general terms?
Sure. I think what I would do, just to make it even more simple, talk about the energetic impact of flowers overall. And I think the best way that I can describe this to people who haven't experienced that is if you go take a walk in your neighborhood and you look at the flowers that are in your neighborhood. And I think the best example is to look at flowers that are the same general color shade. Some are dark purple, some are light purple, some are medium purple. And let your eyes kind of drink in that color. For me, when I have that experience, it almost feels like it's a vitamin that's coming in from my eyes. You're seeing the way all the different shades are. that to me is the simplest way to describe vibrationally or energetically what scent can do, what flowers can do, what flower essences can do. You can experience them and they can enrich you in some way that is pretty simple. So I think that that extends from just what a physical flower looks like to what the vibrational properties are. So, you know, think about a rose. Think about how a rose makes you feel just when it comes to your mind. For me, that is the impact of a flower. So for me, a rose is beautiful, and it makes me feel beautiful. It's a very delicate thing, but it's also got the thorn, so it's quite strong. So I think through a lot of that. And then the next piece, of course, is scent. And I think scent is very powerful, not only because of aromatherapy. I'm not an aromatherapist, but there's certainly a lot of work that's been done around that, but also with association. So scent is very strong as it relates to memory, and as it relates to emotion. And I do believe we have those connections to scent that have been pre-programmed. You know, everyone, when you think of lavender, you think of calming. But I also think it's something that you can create for yourself. So you can smell a rose and say, when I smell this rose, I feel beautiful. And continually smelling that rose and associating with that emotion, eventually, when you're smelling roses, that's what you're feeling. So I think it's a really unique way to interact with.
I think that's a perfect description. And one thing that I was thrilled to hear about is that you are now offering classes for both adults and children. I'd love to know more about that.
Absolutely. I love to teach, and I love to teach scent in part because of what it teaches me. So I've had the opportunity, as you said, to teach adults and children. And I teach perfume to children 9 and above, and usually that's a sort of individual classes or with a parent. That might be really fun. I teach perfume to adults as well in groups or individually. And I often work with wine professionals around really smelling through a set of scents. So it's something that I've been doing and happy to come and do with people.
That's great. And Jessica, you'll be joining us at the St. Helena Farmers Market this Friday, August 9th, and we'll be offering a lecture and a hands-on demo at 10:30 a.m. Jessica, give us a sneak peek about what you're going to be featuring this Friday and what guests have to look forward to.
Absolutely. I'm so excited for this class. I was thinking about it last night, and we're going to do Scents of the Valley. So we are going to learn a little bit about natural scents. We're going to smell a dozen, 20, you know, to 20 natural different scents, and then we're going to make a little spray that we can take home, each of us. And the scents that we're going to be experiencing are scents that you can find here in the Napa Valley. There are so many, as you go on your walks, as you sit in your backyard, that you can experience, and they go everywhere from the citruses to the beautiful jasmine and rose flowers, through to all of the herbs that we have, through to some really unique bushes that are here. One of them is my favorite, is a labdanum bush, which, you know, you can be walking actually on the Yanthal path, and there's one, and when it's really warm, it just exudes the scent of labdanum. So we're gonna smell through those, because I feel like having this opportunity to access scent without having to do much other than going for a walk is a really important thing. And so once we've done that, we'll use those materials and make little scent sprays for ourselves.
Well, I'm definitely looking forward to it this Friday, and I encourage all of our listeners to come out and join us at 10:30. And I should also mention that all of our lectures, demos, and classes are free to everyone. Jessica, for listeners today who are interested in finding out more about your products and classes, where can they find that information?
Sure, absolutely. First, come see me at the farmer's market.
Yep.
I'm there every other week, and you'll know me by my sign, which just says flower, F-L-W-R, the scent of nature. And I'm happy to talk to you about flowers and scents in any way, shape, or form. It's one of my favorite things to do. You can find me on Instagram at Jess Manella, J-E-S-S-M-E-N-N-E-L-L-A. You can find me online at www.flowerflwrnapavalley.com, or you can email me at jess@flowernapavalley.com.
Fantastic. I want to thank all of our guests today and our listeners today. Please come and visit us at the St. Helena Farmers Market every Friday, 7:30 a.m. to 12 p.m. through October. Once again, we're located at Crane Park on the west side of St. Helena. We have lots in store for tomorrow's market. So Arwen Gallenkamp, our market educator, will host a summer swelter kids projects from 9 to 11:30 8:30 a.m. Christina of Fantasy Faces will also be at the market tomorrow from 8:30 to 12, delighting the kids with her amazing face painting. And our special guest today, Jessica Manella of Flower Napa Valley, will be presenting a lecture and demo, The Sense of Nature, at 10:30 a.m. With a hands-on experience. And I hope everyone can join us for that. And as a reminder, all of our kids' programs and demos are free to the public. Also at tomorrow's market, Kathy Folger, manager of the St. Helena Umpqua Bank, will be at the market with the Umpqua Bank ice cream truck giving out free ice cream from 10 to 12 tomorrow. So if that isn't enough incentive, I don't know. We'd also like to extend a very special thank you to Farmstead Restaurant in St. Helena as their Corkage for Community for the month of August supports our St. Helena Farmers Market community education programs. Please stop by for a delicious meal and bring a bottle of wine this month. This has been another Farmers Fresh Hour at Napa's KVON 1440 AM, brought to you by American Ag Credit, Money for Agriculture. We hope to all see you at the St. Helena Farmers Market, and in order to stay up to date with us, please check out our website, sthelenafarmersmarket.com. You can also follow us on Facebook and Instagram.